Dominic Capote is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, joins us in 30 minutes. Caroline is convinced that I'm not a college football fan.
I am.
Which I think is ridiculous.
Why?
Because I watch college football and I like college football.
I'm not convinced.
Okay, why are you not convinced? Like, what am I supposed to be excited about as far as college football is concerned right now? Like, for example, Joe Rexroad went to Knoxville today to cover UT Vols Media Day, mm-hmm. right? Okay, good for him.
Great.
But I'm not missing a padded Titans practice in order to go to Knoxville for Vols Media Day to hear Josh Heupel say the same things that he said for 6 months.
And I don't think that you need to. But when you say, oh, a Nebraska-Iowa game, who cares?
You don't care about that.
I would watch that game.
You do not care.
Why do you not think that I care?
Because if it's a Saturday.
Okay.
And we're sitting there saying, hey, what are you doing tomorrow, Saturday night? Let's say we take the boat out. Going to take the boat out. Want to see if you want to come.
Uh-huh.
Hey, going out on the boat Saturday afternoon. If Nebraska-Iowa's on, you're going on the boat. If LSU-Texas is on, you're not going on the boat.
Correct.
Okay.
But just because I'd rather watch my alma mater, I mean, that's different. I mean, if Nebraska-Iowa is on, I'm going to watch it. I'll probably flip through different games that are on that day as well. But I'm not going to say, who cares? Nobody cares about that game.
Nobody cares about Nebraska-Iowa.
Iowa fans do.
You're
Nebraska
not an Iowa
fans
fan.
Do.
I'm not a Nebraska fan. You don't even know a Nebraska fan.
You don't know that.
Do you know a Nebraska fan?
I don't
Name a Nebraska fan right now, first and last.
Now that you mention it, I'm not quite sure if I do know a Nebraska fan.
Okay.
And I'm from Missouri, so I probably should.
So I like college football, but I am starting to lose my love for college football. And I will explain exactly why. Nick Saban signed a new contract that's going to average $10.6 million a year. $11.5 million in the final year. This has to be the final deal of Saban's career, right? Like, through 2028, like, Saban can't sign.
How old is he going to be in 2028?
Like 75, probably.
If anyone would coach past 75, it's Nick Saban, but I mean, I have to assume that this is his final contract. Yes.
According to the new deal, Saban will be paid an $800,000 completion benefit every year. The contract also states that Saban will be paid at least as much as the average total pay of the top three SEC coaches or top five NCAA coaches, whichever is higher.
Uh-huh.
So this is a name your price contract, and Saban signed it. And let me say this. I don't think anybody deserves this kind of contract more than Nick Saban. And I am not a believer in socialism. So I do believe that Nick Saban has earned the big contract. I'm not doubting that. I'm not sitting here saying that it's bad that Nick Saban signed this humongous contract. But there is one element of the Saban contract that really bothers me, and it is the future of college football. Now, there is discussions that the 12-team playoff will get tabled to the side, and we'll get to that in a second. But more importantly, I think what really bothers me about the Saban contract is what bothers me about what college football is becoming. And that is, it's all about the money, and all it is are the rich guys in the back counting it and just passing it amongst themselves. And that's what I worry about with college football. If you're going to tell me, hey, it's good that Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC because now there's more money. And think about all the money. Okay, but what about that money? Like, so all that money comes in. This is college football. This is not pro football. Where in pro football, the owners signed $10 billion television contracts. And guess who gets the money? The owners. That's their, that they own it. That's what they want. But who's getting that money? And that's what's bothering me about college football. They want a 12-team playoff. Why do they want a 12-team playoff? Because they want more money. They want to put Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC and go to a 9-game SEC schedule. Why do they do that? Because they want more money. Okay, but then what are you doing with the money? And in this instance, to me, it's obvious. The rich are getting richer. This is not helping the game of college football. Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, a 12-team playoff, more TV contracts, more digital revenue. It's not going to fund at-risk programs in communities to get more people to play football. It's going in Nick Saban's pocket. And again, Nick Saban deserves every dollar he's gotten because of what he's given to the University of Alabama. I remember when I was in high school, and that applies to this because Saban took over there right when I left. And Alabama was the school that if you couldn't get into any other SEC school, you were going to Alabama. If you couldn't get into Vanderbilt, you couldn't get into Georgia, you couldn't even get into Tennessee, well, you can get into Alabama. And you look at the academic requirements now for Alabama, the profile of the school is significantly higher because of what Saban has done for the football team, which is good. But the big picture, with all of this commercialization of the sport, to me, it's all just putting money into the pockets of the rich people and the rich teams and the rich schools, and hire $3 million coordinators and hire. And I just don't think that's good for college football. If we go to 9 SEC games, which is what they're talking about doing with Texas and Oklahoma, we go to 9 games. That means that we're squeezing out one of those little body bag games against Southeastern Arkansas State. But now you're hurting Southeastern Arkansas State so that you can make more money, so that you can pay Saban, who already makes a ton of money, even more money. And that's where I'm like, well, this sucks. Like, I'm sacrificing things I love about college football so that you can make more money, so that you can pay yourself that money and not do the sport any good. And that's where I look at the Saban contract, and I look at where the sport's headed, and I'm like, man, this is going... We've talked about this with college basketball. In theory, the one and done should be good for college basketball, right?
But it's not.
But it should be. Because,
it should be.
Because let's say this. You get a year of LeBron James in college. You get a year of Kobe Bryant or Kevin Garnett, guys who didn't play in college. You get a year of LeBron in college. You probably don't remember how hyped LeBron was as a senior in high school. Like,
no.
That might have been right at the end of your, you know, like, it was a Sports Center thing. I remember everybody made a big deal. He played at St. Vincent and St. Mary's, mm-hmm. and they wore green. And he wore a green NBA headband on a TV game. And it was like, is this the sign that LeBron James is headed to the NBA? I remember when LeBron James got suspended in high school, because his mom bought him a Hummer. And it was like, okay, how did LeBron's mom afford that Hummer for LeBron? But so you get a year of LeBron in college. That should be great for college basketball, right?
In theory, yes.
But the one and done has killed that sport.
Because those guys come to college knowing that they are doing one and done. And I'll use Ben Simmons, for example, because that's a person that I covered in college.
Sure.
Ben Simmons didn't go to a single class. Ben Simmons could not give one care about Louisiana State University. He does not care because that place and that team was the only thing standing in between him and millions of dollars and being in the NBA. So it's only caused resentment towards college basketball. It's only watered down college basketball because players go into college knowing that they only have 1 year. Why would I go to class? I'm not graduating. I'm not getting a degree. I'm coming to the University of Basketball. And that's exactly what their sights are set on. I mean, of course, Zion being in college was great for college basketball because it was fun and everybody wanted to watch Duke.
But I think the bigger point is, like, nobody really cares about who goes to class or who doesn't, because it's not like we're tailing these people to be like, did you go to geology today? You know, it's not like we really care about that.
There are some people doing that. I'm not doing that, but there are some people doing that.
But it feels like the spirit of the sport is gone.
That's what it is.
It feels like the spirit of college basketball is gone. And I remember as a kid growing up, college basketball was much bigger. And Duke had, you know, Sheldon Williams and J.J. Redick were at Duke. And those guys were NBA players, but they weren't great. But they were both All-Americans, and Duke was a number one seed. But the spirit of college basketball was there. Like, it existed. And I can't tell you the exact reason why the one and done has ruined it, why maybe, you know, us finding out about the FBI investigation into the shoe companies, why that's ruined. I can't explain it completely. Like, I haven't done the research to point, you know, this is why. Other than I know in my heart this is why. And I think that's where we're headed with college football. And that's what the Saban contract tells me. It tells me now that all this money that's coming into the game, all this Texas and Oklahoma 12-team playoffs, sit in the back, count the money. Look at all the money. that when Greg Sankey puts out a statement saying it's about the student athletes, we know it's not, but it bothers me because it feels like it's taking away from the spirit of college football. I will be honest with you. The one thing I've always said about paying players is I don't care as long as you don't ruin the product for me on a Saturday. And of the four major changes, 12-team playoff, super conference, transfer portal, and name, image, and likeness, that one is the least of my worries.
I don't care about NIL, really.
Of ruining the spirit of college football. And so I am not knocking Nick Saban. I am not looking at Saban saying, how dare Saban sign an $11 million contract? Knock yourself out, Nick. You deserve it. But it is what that means for the sport that bothers me. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't know Nick Saban. Like, we were together hanging out one time with Floyd, and it was really cool that I was hanging out with Nick Saban. But I bet Saban, it wouldn't surprise me if he felt similarly in this regard. Like, if he looked at this contract, knowing where that money was coming from. This is a guy who doesn't like the playoff because he thinks it takes away from winning the SEC. And if he looks at that and thinks, man, what is going on with the game right now is just not right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I hate the 12-team playoff, and I hate Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. But why Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC might have saved us from the 12-team playoff, that's next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman and Company, TSP and 102.5 The Game. Let's give away some James Taylor tickets later this hour as well. So be listening for your chance to win to go see James Taylor. 615-737-1025. It's ESP and 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman and Company, Trevor Maddich will join us in just a little bit. We'll get to your reaction on the Saban contract again. $10.6 million for Nick Saban. I mean, look, if anyone deserves it, it's Nick Saban, but I mean, where's all this money coming from? It's not going, you know, it's just the commercialization of college football. Speaking of money, so yesterday the Texas lawmakers convened, and apparently this hearing in which the president of the University of Texas was there and Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, was there, apparently this hearing, I'm sure you've seen some of this stuff, but the way our political hearings are just terrible nowadays, where it's like, we're going to have Jared Stillman testify at this hearing at this time, and it's on CNN and MSNBC and Fox and whatever. And what happens is, they, you know, there's like these formalities to it that are kind of, you know, odd to the average person, where I'll send it back down to the speaker. Yes, the man from Oklahoma is now granted his 5 minutes on the clock. Thank you, Speaker. Witness, do you think that it is a problem? And then just goes on this, like, total rant about how terrible this person is without asking a question. And they're doing it for the cameras. Mm-hmm. And then the next person will be the other party, and they'll be like, I just want to thank you for your commitment to our country. You know, and it's the same thing on everything. Like, it's absurd. And it's embarrassing. So apparently in the state of Texas last night, they had one of these. And it was pretty wild. So they asked, I guess Jay Hartzell is the president of Texas. And he was there. And as was Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner. And some of the news items that came out from that, Hartzell was asked if ESPN was included with his conversations about moving to the SEC. And he said, absolutely, categorically, no. You buy that?
No.
Okay. Hartzell said Texas initiated contact with the SEC, reaching out to the conference in the spring. You buy that?
In the spring?
Of 2021?
Yo, no.
He said the idea of joining other conferences such as the Big Ten, the ACC, or Pac-12 was considered internally.
Liar.
But Texas never contacted those leagues. Hartzell was also on the receiving end of the needling from lawmakers. After Hartzell said that the Texas athletic budget was between $220 and $225 million per year, one of the largest in the country, a Senator Louis Colkhurst noted the Longhorns had only won 3 of the last 10 games against her alma mater, TCU. Quote, maybe your fan base rather lose to Alabama than TCU, she said. I mean, so
go off, sis.
So it turned into all this craziness, including at some point, and I don't even know what this one lawmaker was talking about. But he said something about how, well, if Vanderbilt left the SEC, I'm not sure anybody would care. And I'm like, do we really need to throw Vanderbilt under the bus while you guys figure out your own laundry? Like, leave Vanderbilt out of this.
I also love that this is like, this is a political hearing. Like, this is a bunch of lawmakers that are probably dressed very professionally in a government building, and they're just throwing cracks at each other like this is a bar.
But that is what politics is now.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
like
those hearings
surrounding
are
football.
It's embarrassing. But Bob Bowlesby yesterday, the commissioner of the Big 12, told the Texas State Senate that there is now a greater hesitancy around the college football move forward with the proposed 12-team playoff after the events of the past few weeks. So a bunch of people that are covering the sport, the insiders, are saying they've heard that from a lot of people, that the 12-team playoff that felt like it was pretty much a done deal is now, well, they're throwing the stop sign up at third base because of this Texas-Oklahoma SEC movement. And my thought on that is, I think it's because everybody else in the room feels like they got played by the SEC. And remember, Greg Sankey was the driving force or one of the main committee members that put together the 12-team playoff. And we were told that it was Greg Sankey and the commissioner of the Mountain West that were really pushing the 12-team playoff idea. Well, we know why the commissioner of the Mountain West is pushing the 12-team playoff, because the Mountain West has no chance of making it to the college football playoff if there's not a 12-team playoff. The Mountain West is going to get left out. Even if there's an 8-team playoff, the Mountain West is going to get left out enough. This ensures that if there's a 12-team playoff and they have a good enough team, they can get in. But I think everybody else in the room, Ohio State AD Gene Smith said, hold on now, we got to slow this up. Big 12 saying, whoa, we got to slow this up. Pac-12, whoa, we got to slow up. I think it's because they now know Sankey was pushing for this because he wants three SEC teams in, and he's going to take Texas and Oklahoma to try to make that a reality. And so it's not that these guys are looking at it saying, we don't agree with 12 teams anymore. It's that we're not giving you what we want because we know you now negotiated with an ulterior motive. And I do wonder if adding Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, which is something that financially is going to wreck the Big 12. Bowlesby said yesterday in the Senate hearing that 50% of the value of the league walks out the door with those two teams. So it's going to wreck a couple of people just financially, but I wonder if it is the sentimental value of how dare you try to take a wrecking ball to our sport so that you can make a buck that is getting the rest of the country to say, no, 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 we're not giving you a 12-team playoff now. So I do wonder if this is what's going to be what saves us from a 12-team playoff, which, to be honest with you, I think is horse crap.
The 12-team playoff?
Yes.
Oh, I absolutely hate it. I hated it before Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC. I hate it now. But, I mean, to your point, of course the Mountain West commissioner was in favor of it because they had a chance.
Sure.
Because they could get people in. The SEC has a chance no matter what.
No, but they want three chances. Because the money is split by how many teams you get into that playoff.
So the Mountain West commissioner is probably looking at it like, no, no. No fair that you get three chances now, that you get more chances. Even in a 4-team playoff, you have a one or two chance of getting, you have a chance of getting one or two teams into a 4-team playoff.
So I don't think it's the Mountain West commissioner that's mad about it. I think it's the ACC.
The Big 10.
I think it's the Big 12, the Big 10. I think they're the ones that are saying, no, screw you. Like, we are not changing the rules now so that you can get three teams in there and your conference can split that money. And I think that's where the holdup is. I think it is, when they say hit pause, that doesn't mean no. I think it means,
let's reevaluate.
Let's analyze what this is going to look like now that you've demolished the Big 12. And if we still don't like it, then we're not doing it. And if we like it, then we'll pass it. But what we thought last week, we don't think anymore because the rules have changed. And so maybe we will avoid the nightmare that is a 12-team playoff. And I am convinced, again, I am convinced nightmare is apropos for describing what this would look like if we end up with a 12-team playoff.
I mean, and I think it's really any sort of expansion to the college football playoff, because the way that it looks now with Texas and Oklahoma, there's a very good chance that with four teams in the college football playoff, the SEC could get half of them.
I'm okay with
come 2025.
Eight. Like, I'm okay with eight. I've always been okay with eight.
I'm okay with eight, but I think that's still the same situation with a 12-team expansion.
I disagree. 8, you got your, you know, this was when you had 5 Power 5 conferences. Mm-hmm. You would have your five automatic qualifiers and then 3 at-larges. And I'm okay with that. Even if that means 2 SEC teams in there, you know, whatever.
It could mean 3 with Texas and Oklahoma.
It could, except that those teams are going to beat each other. So once you start beating up,
you're dealing with
Alabama's
the regular
gonna
season.
Be, then it's going to like affect all of that.
That's true.
But a 12 to me is ridiculous. And we never needed it other than, again, everybody going in the back, counting the money, and then handing it out. I mean, this is the thing that bothers me about Greg Sankey. And I like Greg Sankey a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think Greg likes me. I mean, he's all about the money now. Like, he's turned to me from a guy who I thought cared about college football to a guy who I only think cares about dollars. And if you were commissioner of Major League Baseball or commissioner of the NHL or commissioner of the AAF or the XFL, fine. But this is college. And I think he's lost that. Mm-hmm. I think he's lost any shred of credibility he had when he came on this show after Will Wade got caught cheating and screamed about how you didn't need that. I think he's all about the dollars and the cents. And that just doesn't fly with me. I don't think he cares about the good of the SEC, except for the financial good of the SEC. I don't think he cares about the good of college football. He was on the NCAA infractions committee, and you know, being a Louisville fan, I know he was on it when their Hooker's trial got sent to the NCAA. And now I wonder, oh man, if we just slipped this guy $200,000, would it have been good? You know, would they have said, oh, nope, nothing to see here? Because that's how he operates with everything else. And that's what bothers me.
But I think to that point, I agree with you, but I think to that point, other people may say, well, what about Greg Sankey wanting Texas and Oklahoma to come in because it's more competition?
Yeah,
or is that just like a cover-up?
Ridiculous. Trevor going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on all of this. 615-737-1025, plus the Vols had media day today. So we'll get Trevor's thoughts on that. I promised we'd give away a pair of tickets to see James Taylor live at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, August 16th. So let's go ahead and do it. Be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you will win those tickets. Again, that's James Taylor at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, August 16th. Trevor Maddich next, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. Tennessee Volunteers Media Day is today. We'll hit some of the highlights as to what we're hearing there. But it kind of all sounds like the same stuff, right? Like, it doesn't really become something until there's something that changes the equation other than, you know, we got to set the standard here at Tennessee. We got to run out the power tee. We got to get bigger and stronger and faster. And, you know, like, you can all say that stuff in year one. The big thing, though, that is changing is the 12-team playoff. Gene Smith last week, athletic director at Ohio State, said, hold on, we got to slow up now. Texas, Oklahoma are going to the SEC. We got to slow up this 12-team playoff. And Bob Bowlesby said the same thing yesterday to Texas lawmakers and Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, saying there's a lot of talk about that behind the scenes. Trevor Maddich now joins us, ESPN college football analyst. Trev, I don't love the 12-team playoff. You know, in fact, that I hate it. I truly, truly hate it. And I think that college football, if we do this and it's all about the money, it becomes more like college basketball. But I will say this. Do you think Texas and Oklahoma can save us from a 12-team playoff?
I don't know that we need to be saved from a 12-team playoff. I actually think 12 teams would be dramatically better than 4 under the current circumstances. But the thing that we don't know about now is what effect will all this expansion have? I mean, if the SEC stops at 16 and everybody else just holds pat, or goes maybe to 16 and that's it, so we still have the same number of conferences, then you can probably move forward. But the problem is, if you end up with a 2024 team conference, if you end up with an alliance between, say, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, or the Pac-12 and the ACC, which would be a really intriguing alliance, they would need to have multiple levels of conference championship tournament in order to find their own conference or conference alliance champion. And if you do that, you can't have so many levels of playoff tournament games nationally, because that's just too many games to add. And so there's no way in the world they can move forward with a 12-team playoff not knowing what's going to happen with this conference realignment.
Trevor, what bothers me, and I said this earlier today, the Nick Saban contract, $10.6 million a year, that doesn't bother me. You know, if anybody deserves the money, it's Saban. But What bothers me is that all of this movement, 12-team playoff, Power 5 expansion, Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC, is that the rich is just getting richer. There's all this money. And why are they doing it? The money! It's all about the money! And they're going back in the back, and it's not anybody who needs it. It's not any school who needs it. It's not any program at any university that needs it. It's not a school that it needs funding for their volleyball team. It's literally just the Nick Sabans and the Greg Sankeys and the ADs at Texas. And that those are the guys padding their wallet by doing this. And ultimately, I think it's bad for the spirit of college football.
Well, how they execute it could be. I had a long conversation today with somebody up here at ESPN. I'm up doing some taping for some things, really fun tapings, by the way, for SportsCenter Special, but about the money. And we were talking about whether or not striving for the dollar is going to hurt college football. And my thought, Jared, is that the way to make the most money is to maximize what makes college football great, what people love about it. That means conference championship races. That means rivalries. That means the traditions. I don't think you'll maximize the almighty dollar by stripping those things away and making college football kind of like the NFL. I think you will maximize your dollar by respecting the traditions of college football. I mean, just think about it. I mean, if the Raiders lose to the Broncos, Raiders fans are upset for a day or two. If Alabama loses to Auburn, it wrecks their fans for a year. Auburn is still, many years later, lording over Alabama fans about the kick six. And so these are things that make college football, or that provide the passion to the fan base. And passion for a fan base is what leads to big dollars. But I would ask you this, why are you so upset about making a lot of money, though?
Well, because I don't think that anybody who's making the money, I don't think that it helps. All it does is it makes the rich get richer, and they're squeezing out the smaller guy. You brought up the traditions and the rivalries. Tell me about that Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry, because that's dead. What about Texas-Texas A&M? That's dead. I mean, there are a lot of great rivalries in college football and college basketball that no longer exist because of conference realignment and expansion and games that don't happen anymore. I mean, and I'm not a huge traditionalist. I don't think everything needs to be the way it is because that's how it always was. But I don't – what's the best rivalry in the ACC?
I would think Florida State-Miami, probably.
Okay. What's that league selling
me? Because either team can win. North Carolina-NC State is a bitter, bitter, bitter rivalry. It doesn't get talked about because neither one of them is competing for the playoff.
I just don't think, like, the SEC – I think the SEC looks at it like this. And this is what knocks your argument about rivalries, which is I think the SEC says, okay, we're going to get Oklahoma and Georgia, and that's going to be a great game to put on TV. 7 o'clock Saturday night, Kirk Herbstreit calling the game, Texas and Alabama. Fine. But as far as that being the tradition of the sport, that's not what we're going to get. That's gone. And, I mean, no. I saw pods the other day, the idea of all these pods that have Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Alabama, and Auburn in the same pod. So we're going to get Alabama playing Vanderbilt every single year, but we're not going to get Alabama playing LSU. What? Like, that's my problem.
Yeah, but I can see where there's creativity in those pods. I mean, you've got, I think it was North Carolina played Wake Forest in a non-conference game last year or 2 years before. Because even though they're in the same conference, they haven't played each other for like 7 or 8 years. And so they scheduled a non-conference game so they can play each other, for goodness sake. They're just right down the road from each other. And this is what happens when you get a 14-team league with two divisions. Because in effect right now, there are two 7-team pods in the SEC and the ACC, et cetera, the Big Ten. Two 7-team pods with two crossover games, right? And so By doing it that way, so you play the six teams in your division, you play one rival that you play every year, so for Tennessee, it's Alabama every year, mm-hmm. and then one other crossover game. So you've got SEC teams where a freshman coming in will never play in the stadium of a team in the other division. I mean, if you're LSU, you might not ever play in your time, your 4 years at LSU, at Georgia. It may never happen, right? And that's terrible. By having a 4-team pod, then you're freeing up more ability to do that. Maybe you have one permanent crossover because Auburn always has to play Georgia, always. But outside of that, you've got more opportunities, especially if you add a 9th conference game, to be able to get around the conference a little bit more. I still don't like it. It's still really diluted, but there are ways for it to be creative to be able to get some of those rivalries played.
I just think that, honestly, it's all about the money, and it's all But it's all to pad the pockets of the people that are already rich, and that's when you hurt the spirit of sport.
Yeah, but why is that bad?
Because it shouldn't wreck Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Kansas State, Oklahoma State. It shouldn't wreck all of those programs just so Georgia can make a little bit more money than they already make.
Well, kind of a lot more money and kind of a lot of stability. Yeah, it's terrible for those other schools, super terrible for them. But at what point do you tell Texas and Oklahoma that they can't enter a more stable league with more money now and potentially a ton more money as this continues to go on, as tech companies might start to bid and want to pay more money to this new SEC? At what point do you tell Texas and Oklahoma that they can't maximize their market value because Baylor will lose out on some cash flow?
Seriously. I think that's if the Texas State Legislature that met yesterday, I think that's probably something that they would have to think about. But more importantly, I hear you. I don't believe in socialism. I mean, I get it. I understand that this is, but then you can't sell me that this is about the spirit of college football. Because the one and done happened in college basketball, the spirit of college basketball was dead and it's not coming back. And that's what I worry here with football.
Well, that's a fair worry because we don't know where this is going. And I think it would be tragic for what college football has historically been if they just go ahead and erase that and just go with an NFL model. I just would hate that. At the same time, I don't think they have to go with a pure NFL model. You know, I think they can still keep the rivalries and some of the conference stuff, certainly the rivalries. If they get rid of the rivalries, well, then all bets are off, you know, and you know, basically good riddance but I don't think they will. I think they'll keep going. Now, you mentioned Oklahoma and Nebraska. That used to be appointment viewing. That was good versus evil. Good was Tom Osborne in Nebraska. Evil was Barry Switzer in Nebraska. And you circled that game. But then the Big 12 came along. They're both in the Big 12 in opposite divisions, and now they only play each other once every 3 years or something, two or three years. So that rivalry kind of went away. And then Nebraska joined the Big 10, and it disappeared, although they're going to play it again this year. They're going to try to. So that would be exciting. But new rivalries will form. The key here is that they don't dump the rivalries that are the pillars of college football, at least not too many of them, right? There's conversation that USC could go independent. Well, if USC goes independent, they'll probably still play UCLA and Stanford. Those are massive rivalries for the Trojans. But if USC joins the Big Ten, right, if the Big Ten just goes ahead and snatches up the top Pac-12 teams and leaves UCLA sitting there, USC might never play UCLA again as long as we're alive. And that's a rivalry that would go away, and it would be awful. It would create new ones, but I think they've got to be careful to not be too frivolous or not be too prolific, let's put it that way, with dumping too many of these rivalries, because that would be really bad. But I think you and I, we agree that money shouldn't destroy college football. Where we disagree is I think that what makes college football great could lead to more money. And I don't have a problem with more money. And my thought is, for even though college football teams that don't have money are supported by those that do. For example, the Big Ten they take a responsibility, they feel, for the MAC. A lot of Ohio schools in the MAC, Michigan schools, same basic footprint. And they want to make sure they play those teams because it throws them a financial bone. The FCS, a lot of times, like 80% of their sports budget will be going to play one game at LSU, right? You take those away, it's devastating to them. But at the same time, you've got to ask, what responsibility do the big boys have to keep that going? And at what point do you ask this question? If Oklahoma State and Baylor and Texas Tech want to make as much as Texas and Oklahoma would by joining the SEC, then they need to do what Texas and Oklahoma did in order to be worthy to join the SEC, right? So the path is there. The question is, who's going to actually follow that path successfully?
Trevor Maddich with us, ESPN college football analyst. Trev, the Vols are in the middle of media day today. And I want to get your thoughts on something surrounding UT football that I think the fans need to hear, A, how I feel, and B, what you think of it. So we'll do that coming up next. Trevor Maddich with us, ESPN college football analyst, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, more with Trev next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stephanie Cappity, Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst with us, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. I'm pretty good at finding things every day to talk about with the Titans and the Predators and the SEC and the, you know, the things that our audience cares about. And I'm pretty good about getting excited about practice. Like, I go to Titans practice, I get excited to tell you about it. Trevor, Caroline is convinced that I don't love college football. She's just convinced because she, you know, went to LSU and loves the Tigers. And we talk about college football, but how much? She is, Caroline, you're convinced I don't love college football, right?
Yes.
Okay. I am trying to get excited for Vol football this year. Like, this is something that in Nashville we should be talking about regularly. Joe Rexroad is currently at Vol Football Media Day. We should be excited about it. And I usually get excited about the things the audience cares about. And I just can't, Trev. Like, I look at this year, I've heard Josh Heupel say the same things for the last 6 months. So I know what that's going to be like. You know, well, we really want to play fast football. We really want to be exciting. We really want to be... But we all know they're going to be terrible this year. They have no idea who their quarterback's going to be, or we have no idea who their quarterback's going to be. But even if it's Hendon Hooker, even if it's Joe Milton, even if it's Brian Maurer, they're all going to stink. So it's like, Trevor, how do I get excited for Vol football with training camp opening up right around the corner?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how to get excited about it. If you are only excited if they have the win-loss record that you want, they're competing for a division championship and going to a really great bowl game, then likely you'll be disappointed this year. And if that's the criteria, then it's gonna be tough. I covered the Washington football team for 20 years. And for many of those years, they were winning 3, 4, 5 games a season, right? So we had to figure out what to talk about with those folks. Because if it was just, yeah, they're bad, you know, everybody's gonna tune away. And so what I started to talk about with them was, here's why they were bad, here's why they lost, we would tell the truth. But then I would focus in on what they did well, what they could build from, where are places that you can see a ray of light. And that's what Tennessee is looking for right now. That's what Tennessee fans should be looking for. I mean, there's some good reasons to be excited about the good things that Tennessee might do this year. Their defensive line has 5 super seniors back. They have a tremendous amount of experience. Their secondary has some really good pieces. Their offensive line has a couple of 5-star recruits to anchor it. They've got a good stable of running backs. They've got some good receivers, and a quarterback competition that should end up with a starter who's upgraded over Jarrett Garantano running the previous system under the previous staff. And that competition will bring the best out of them. But the most exciting thing for Tennessee fans should be Josh Heupel and his system. When Heupel was at Missouri, he had a very good quarterbacks, he had very good receivers, and he lit up SEC defenses. I couldn't stop anybody, but man, it was exciting to watch. It was tremendous fun. And Heupel is bringing that same system to this same division, for goodness sake. And so the thing to get excited about is not thinking, well, this is the year they're going to knock off Alabama and Georgia and Florida and win the SEC. No. Don't be thinking about that right now if you're looking for a reason to be excited. Be excited that the offense has a chance to be one of the most dynamic, especially in the passing game, in the SEC. And then you can build off of that ray of light.
So I'm not saying, Trevor, that Josh Heupel isn't going to be a great coach or that his offense isn't going to light up the scoreboard. Though I think deep down inside, most Vol fans weren't happy with this hire because they didn't feel that way. I'm just saying that this season, it's not going to happen. They're going to have that system where they're going to try to score points, But they just don't have anybody on their team capable of doing the point scoring. And that's where I'm like, well, you know, it's not even about the record. It's just about, like, they're not going to be a competitive football team this year. You could have brought Vince Lombardi in to coach this year, and they wouldn't have a competitive football team. Nick Saban could switch sidelines, and it wouldn't be a competitive football team this year. And I feel like, you know, the ray of light, yeah, maybe we'll see those, but, like, I'm supposed to be excited about a team that's not going to be very good, but they might have a bunch of seniors on the defensive line. So even if those seniors are good, by the time the rest of the team gets decent, those guys won't even be here anymore. It's just, it's so hard for me to sell interest in Vol football when it feels like right now it's more of the same. And while there may be light at the end of the tunnel, the light seems like it is just so far away. Am I too much of a Debbie Downer?
Well, you're pretty much a Debbie Downer there, yeah. And you have a good point. Your best point, Jared, is that the team, the light at the end of the tunnel for so many years recently, just so many years, the light at the end of the tunnel was not success as you break into the sunlight. It was a train coming the other way that was about to smash you. And you just thought it was a light at the end of the tunnel. No, it's coming at you. And that's what Tennessee has been. There's been a lot of years where they've had pretty good teams with some pretty good stars. Alvin Kamara is one that comes to mind, running back who went off to the NFL and became Offensive Rookie of the Year, for goodness sake, and he's considered one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league right now. So they didn't know what to do with him at Tennessee. But, man, we were so excited every season going in to watch Kamara light it up wearing the orange, and they never did. So your best argument, Jared, is that there have been so many years where there's been so much hope, and that hope has almost always been dashed. So why do you want to stick your head up again, just get it whacked back down again in a game of SEC whack-a-mole? So I get that part. But as I look at it, I am very excited to see what happens with this offense, because as long as there's time to throw, I think the combination of whoever wins the starting quarterback position and this group of receivers has a chance to do a lot of things that will be fun to watch, if not successful at the highest level yet.
Maybe I'm just, again, maybe I'm just like really down in the tank, but – and I don't think I speak for all the fans. I certainly don't think that. But Clark Lee gets the job at Vanderbilt, and I think Clark Lee is a good guy, and I think he's a good coach, but, I mean, you got to be a great coach in order to win there. You have to be a great coach, and you have to have things kind of go your way at the same time. I look at Josh Heupel, and I think, you know, this year it's just going to be about getting out of the, you know, getting out of the dumpster the first year, and then maybe the second or third year we can get excited about UT football. But I feel like I've done it with these two programs so much that, like, trying to be excited, I remember when Pruitt had to get the program out of the dumpster. And I remember when Butch Jones had to get him out of the dumpster. And both guys got hot at the end of year two. And I remember how excited people got at the end of year two. And I remember how bad it was after that when they had high expectations and it crashed down. And I'm just kind of tired of seeing the same movie over and over and over again. Like, I don't need a Rush Hour 4. And I'm looking at kind of the same thing it feels like right now with UT.
That is absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. Your original question, though, was how can you be excited about them? After everything that you said, and everything that you said, Jared, is exactly right. And it's fair. A lot of times fans and teams don't like to hear the truth. But as long as the truth, as long as it's fair, then they just need to suck it up, right? And what you just said was the truth. But the question was, what can you be excited about? The answer is, some experienced guys on defense that can make some plays, and especially excited to see how the passing game works in year one. Because otherwise, the only alternative is you just go away. And the problem is, when people go away, they tend to find other things to do, and a lot of times they don't come back. And it's not up to fans to figure out a reason why they should like UT football. It's up to UT football to give fans a reason to get behind them. And so everything you're saying is right, but I just have a little more enthusiasm than you do about what we're going to be seeing about those rays of light, because I think I have every expectation that those rays of light are going to end up being a true light at the end of the tunnel and not a train coming the other direction.
Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, as always, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trev, appreciate it. We'll have some camps to get into next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Trevor Maddich joining us on the program. Caroline, are you buying what Trevor's putting down there about the excitement for Vol football?
I will believe it when I see it.
See, here's what gets me, is that I remember when Butch Jones took the job, and it was an unmitigated disaster, and that was kind of the first moment where if you were a UT fan, you kind of felt like, whoa, we maybe have been taking a step back here, and you didn't like it.
It wasn't all bad with Butch Jones.
No, but the beginning of it, like, because Butch was like the eighth choice, and everybody turned him down. Charlie Strong turned him down, and Larry Fedora turned him down, and Ed Lane Kiffin, John Gruden turned him, and it was like, all right, well, who wants this job?
John Gruden was a pipe dream all along.
Yeah, I know. But at least that, when we talk about excitement, at least there was that.
Right.
You know, with this, it was kind of like, then the Pruitt thing happened after the Butch thing, and it was like, no, Pruitt's going to recruit, Pruitt's going to get him in here, Pruitt's going to, and so we all gave Pruitt, you know, the same thing we gave Butch, and Pruitt got him out of the dumpster, and we thought they were, okay, it was bad. Now there's this, and it's just like, okay. It's like, we know you have to go through the first year of crap in order to get through that.
Because Tennessee really fans have been through the first year of crap way too many times the past 10 or so years.
Right, and the first year of crap is just that. It's a year of crap. And so once you get past that, then you have the chance to be good. If Heupel's going to be good, you know, he'll get recruits in for year two, and they'll come in there, and you'll see an impact right away, and you'll feel good about it, and you'll feel like you aren't a helpless football team in the middle of the ocean without a paddle. But this year is the year of crap. And I know the year of crap is coming. And that's where I struggle to get excited for Vol football this year. Cause I know it's a year of crap. And I know it's a necessary year of crap. And this is what happens. But I just know that it means bad football season, not watchable games, maybe getting housed by Kentucky. Like, that's just not interesting to me.
But another big thing I think as well is that I don't know if Tennessee fans, and I don't want to group them all into one large group, but I will. I don't know if they understand that it's going to be a year of crap.
Oh, they do.
But I don't know because
they know.
I know after this season, if the Vols go 6-6, they're going to be calling for Heupel's head. And they're going to say, we didn't even want him anyways. What
after
happened
this year?
Yes.
They're not going 6-6.
Worse than that.
They might win
4-8.
Three games. They might win 3 games. Pull up the schedule.
Okay, this will actually be fun.
We'll do it on the other side. 615-737-1025. Here's the question for the texters. Go ahead and hit the text line on this one. Are you excited, especially if you're a Vol fan, are you excited at all for this upcoming football season? Because I'm not. And again, like I said, it's wild.
Because you don't like college football.
I don't like watching the team be terrible for the umpteenth time in a row. Yes, I don't like that.
Well, that's part of being a college football fan.
Not in good schools. And I, you know, again, is there any excitement? Is there any? Like, other than, you know, Trevor's trying to sell us that, you know, Heupel could put together this great offense, and but that's two
I don't
or,
doubt that,
that's two
but
or
that's
three
down
years
the
down
road.
The road. So I'm asking Vol fans this question. Do you care? Now we'll pull up the schedule and we'll see what they can do. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 1025. The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.